It is my joy to welcome you to today's podcast. Our prayer is that the Lord will minister to you in a special way during our time together.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you as we come to a time when we will listen to your word. I pray that you help us to have ears that will listen. Grant us hearts that will understand and obey. And I pray that we will align ourselves, Lord, to the word and to you, Lord Jesus. Speak to our hearts. Anoint your servant in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can you believe it is the last Sunday of November already? I mean, just the other week we started the year and now we are almost 11 months and we're coming to the most exciting time of the year and you will be blessed. Okay, well, I heard the story of this gentleman who was checking his luggage at the airport and he saw this young man who was doing that. And he got very angry with this man, the way he was handling the luggage. Apparently, this man was an angry man. But he started belittling the man. He started shouting at the man. He started abusing this young man. But the young man did not react at all. And, after shouting for a while, he gave the luggage and he went inside the airport. A woman was watching all this, came to this man who was handling the luggage and said, "Hey, how do you handle such characters?" He says, "Well, I don't do much." He says, "You see, he is actually on his way to New York. I'm sending his luggage to Brazil." I want to ask you, have you come across angry people? Are you married to one? Do you get easily angered? Have you lost a business deal or a business partner because of your anger? Have you lost your job or have you been fired from your job? Or you quit your job because of a moment of anger? Worse still, have you lost your marriage or your child because you said something in your anger? Everyone has some degree of anger. Let me ask you, any of you have anger? Lift your hands. You do. Thank you for being honest. How many of you are anger naturally? In other words, you're angry all the time. Okay, some people. If we do not learn how to control our anger or to manage our anger can have devastating consequences. We've seen road rages on the way where people get out of the vehicle, they shout, they hit somebody. Sister Stubbs used to say, if people get out of the vehicle and shout, it's a good sign. If an accident happens, nobody's moving around, it's a bad sign. And they're dead. We've seen couples fight, perhaps on television or our neighborhood. They shout at each other, they perhaps use foul language at each other. Sometimes they hit. We've heard parents who come and in a fit of rage, get the children and whack them up real bad. Are you one of them? We've heard of engaged couples who are engaged to each other, planning to get married, but they have a fight and suddenly one of them will pull the ring and throw it on the floor and say something and walk out. Walk out of that engagement. People have lost their jobs, business deals. Anger has an expensive price tag. Your uncontrolled anger will cost you dearly. So you probably know what I'm speaking on. I'm speaking about the danger with anger. The danger with anger. I want to speak from the life of Moses. Now, most of you know Moses as the meekest man on the face of the planet. That's what the Bible talks about him. But did you know Moses did have anger issues? He did. We know him as an incredible person, one of the greatest men in the Old Testament. He was a Levite. His parents were Levites. He was born at a time when Pharaoh had given a strict order for every male babies that were born to be thrown into the river Nile. And lo and behold, when he was in the Nile in a basket, who comes to see? The daughter of Pharaoh himself. And he was pulled out, named Moses. And he grew up as the son of the princess of Pharaoh. He grew up as the grandson of Pharaoh. So for the next 40 years, his life took a turn. He had palatial upbringing, palatial education. He was grooming to be the next Pharaoh of Egypt. But then turn of events that happened that caused him to leave the palace and run for his life. And the next you find him for the next 40 years, he's in the wilderness taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. God calls him sovereignly through a burning bush and asks him to go and deliver the people of Israel from the bondage of Egypt and bring them to be the promised land. It was going to be a long journey to lead 2 million people, 20 lakhs of people, for the next 40 years of his life through the wilderness. But the sad part is this, although he had all this journey and he led the people for 40 years, he did not make it to the promised land. God did not allow Moses to enter the promised land. Why? It feels so unfair. It feels so, something is not right. Why would God use a man all his life and then tell him you cannot enter the, this is why I called you, this is what I want you to do, but when I come to this point, no, you cannot go any further. A man who was the deliverer of Egypt, of Israel, a man who was the greatest prophet, a man who was a lawgiver, who wrote the first 5 books of the Bible, who led a stubborn, rebellious, stiff-necked people for 40 years, bore through all of their anger and bitterness and comments. A man who saw God face to face, talked with God face to face, spent 3 times, 40 days up on the mountain without food and water. This man was not allowed to enter the promised land. To understand the context of the story, I want you to go to Numbers chapter 20. Now, everyone has got a Bible, please? Let me see your Bibles up in the air. Not your holy iPhone, the holy Bible. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. You have a Bible? Please never be embarrassed of this book. This book has changed the world and it has changed our lives. Carry it. Now, you can listen to the iPhone, that's perfectly fine, but carry one with you. Amen? Numbers chapter 20, verse 2. Now, there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. Verse 3, they quarreled with Moses and said, if only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this wilderness that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs, grape vines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink. Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of the meeting and fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, take the staff, and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Let's read the next line together, please, everyone. Here we go. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You'll bring water out of the rock for the community so that they and their livestock can drink. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, let's read the line, everyone. Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? Keep reading. Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. Read verse 12. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give to them. God gave a very clear instruction to Moses. There's no water. Call all the people. Speak to the rock. Speak to the rock. And it will pour out. Moses gets very angry with the people and does something different. I don't have a rock, but I've asked my team to get something. Now, for a moment, I want you to imagine this is a rock. Is that okay? No water is going to come out. But imagine. God told Moses, speak to the rock. What he did, he took the staff and he hit the rock. Now, when you look at that instance, you'll say, well, 19-20 ka farak hai. A small thing, such a small thing. Why did God get so mad at this man? He was supposed to speak, but he hit. What is such a big problem to the point? You see, sometimes you find that God was being unfair. Because, okay, at least he should have been given the leverage and say, okay, he led the people 40 years. At least just be a little merciful to the man. What was so serious about Moses hitting the rock? Why did Moses disobey God? I'll give you four reasons that I can think of. Number one, perhaps he got too familiar with God. You know, you and I can get too familiar with God and his word and the church and Christianity that you feel after being a Christian for 30, 40, 50 years, 19-20 ka farak chalega. You know, sometimes we follow everything from the West without even a filter. They may do a mistake. In the West, couples live together before marriage and we feel, oh, it's okay. They are doing it, we can do it. In the West, people involved in fornication. Oh, they do it, we can do it. In the West, they do something. In the West, sometimes the whole service becomes all about entertaining a crowd more than worship of God. It becomes a performance. And you have to make a distinction between what is performance and what is worship. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's preaching good. Hallelujah. Listen to me. God says, speak to the rock. Moses said, I know God. I've been walking with him. I mean, look at my Instagram page. You know, I've got pictures with God up on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I got pictures on Facebook. Come on, look. See the glory of God. See, come on, take a picture. You can go through all the pictures of him parting the Red Sea, feeding manna and feeding quail, bringing the tablets from heaven. Look at all the pictures on Instagram. Moses with two tablets of stone. Moses was one who spoke to God. Perhaps Moses got very familiar with God. And I want to say this to you, friends. Don't get familiar with God. Don't get familiar with God where you feel like, hey, chalta hai, anything will do. No, sir. God is holy. God means business with you. He's not going to tolerate. If he gives you a specific, clear command, he expects you to follow it. Can you say amen? Amen? The scripture has a lot of clear commands. Don't root it through a Western interpretation. Clear commands. Thou shall not. So Moses perhaps got familiar. Number two, perhaps he followed his experience. Moses had a similar incident that happened at the beginning of the 40 years. By the way, Numbers 20 was written in the 40th year of their journey. It was towards the end of their journey. But earlier, look to Exodus chapter 17, please. Exodus 17, verse 1 to 7. Moses did strike a rock in the past. And what a gusha. Exodus 17 verse 1 to 7. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They encamped at Rephidim and there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, give us water to drink. Moses replied, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test? But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, what am I to do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me. The Lord answered, everybody read it, please. Here we go. Go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Read loudly, verse 6. Not quietly, read loudly. Here we go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders. Listen, I will stand there before you by the rock. Listen to this very carefully. I will stand there before you, by the side of the rock. You strike the rock, and the water will come. Are you able to picture? It's very important. I wish I had a big rock. I will stand there before you by the rock. Everybody say, before you, by the rock. Strike the rock. And when you strike the rock, water. Listen, Exodus chapter 17 was right after the people of Israel crossed the Red Sea. In chapter 14, they crossed the Red Sea. Chapter 15, Miriam is bringing the tambourine and they're having worship and praise because the Lord had defeated the entire chariots and horses and army of Egypt. And now they're coming. Chapter 16, chapter 17, they're in the desert and there is no water. So Moses did this because of experience. Hey, I did this before. This time God is asking me to speak, but I know what formula worked last time. You know, God's people, sometimes people do that because of a formula, because of past, because he followed a known formula. You know, God's people do that all the time. You know what has worked last time, and this time you want to do it. Even though the instruction is to speak, you want to do it. Because the last time it did. You know, how many times we go into prayer for healing? Okay, that scripture from John worked. Okay, now every time there is a healing, quote only that scripture. Oh, this time the demon left when I quoted Luke chapter 7. Okay, every time you want to come to a demon, quote that scripture. We find a formula. Sometimes you feel you have to wave your hand. Sometimes you feel you have to apply the oil only on the forehead. We come with formulas. Only if you touch this place, the healing happens. Are you getting me? Please understand, God doesn't work with formulas. I want you to say to your neighbor, God doesn't have a formula. One time he asked them to strike, one time he asked them to work. So when it comes to financial provision or personal victories or casting out demons or healing, or for anything, you cannot say, I have done it before. I have a formula. I have a magic handkerchief. All I have to do is wave it. I have magic oil. Go to this website and buy it. You will get healing. Listen, God is not going to be tied down to a certain website and certain oil from that website. Hello. Somebody may have received the healing. I love Dr. Adrian Rogers. He shares a story, and he shares the story of Jesus healing three blind people. In fact, there are four blind people. I went through it. And he was telling about the three people that came for the evening meeting, and they were sharing the testimony of how Jesus heals blind people. And the first one said, he spat in my eyes, and my eyes was healed. And it's found in Mark chapter 8, verse 22. Jesus spat in the eyes. So the first man said, that's how Jesus heals. He spits in your eye and your eye becomes healed. The second man said in John chapter 9, he said, no, he doesn't spit in your eye. You're wrong. He spits on the ground and then takes some mud and puts some mud in your eye. That's how Jesus heals. The third man said, you really don't know how Jesus heals. You know, he doesn't spit, neither does he use the mud. But in Matthew chapter 9, he says he touched two blind eyes, two men. He touched the eyes. That is how Jesus heals. So Dr. Aaron says, right there in that prayer meeting, we have three denominations. We have the spit eyes, the mud eyes, and the touch eyes. Assembly of God. My friends, God does things differently. Whenever God spoke to David or Joshua and they were fighting a war. Every time he gave instruction, he did not give the same instruction for the people. They say, this is, no, sometimes he says, go behind. Sometimes he says, make the holes. And let, you know, he had different strategy for warfare. God doesn't use a formula. Do you believe me? I want you to look at your thumb straight. Look at your thumb straight. How big is your thumb? What is the size of your thumb? Just an inch, right? Around an inch? Would you say yes? But in that inch of space, he's got over 8.1 billion different thumbprints. Nobody can do that. Just an inch of space, and you have 8.1 billion different models on this planet. God doesn't have formulas. God doesn't work with your past experiences. The fourth thing I can think of why Moses disobeyed is because of his frustration and anger. Moses struck it out because he was frustrated. Now, I'll tell you, leading 20 lakhs of people can be very frustrating. Hallelujah. Listen, I've been a pastor in this church. I've been pastoring for more than 31 years in this church. Sometimes people can get upset with me because they expect me to come for their wedding anniversary, their engagement, their grandmother's memorial every year. They want their birthday to be celebrated. And I'll tell you, sometimes it is difficult. On any given day in our church, there are 20 to 25 birthdays. There are at least 5 or 10 wedding anniversaries every day. Are you listening? I remember a family that got so upset because I did not go for their family function. There was a function in the family on Saturday night. The next morning, I'm preaching. Next morning, I'm preaching here. And before the preaching, I don't go out anywhere. I prepare my message. But because I didn't go for the program or the family function, they have stopped coming to church 4 months together. From that day till today, they have stopped coming to church because pastor did not come for a family function. Listen to me. I'm unable to go for programs. I know it can be quite frustrating for you. But please understand, would you show your pastor some mercy? Would you be a little merciful to us? We're trying our best to serve the best we can. I would want you to show us some mercy. When we say we are unable to come, it's not of any personal thing against you. It's just that we have so much already going on. 2 weeks ago, I had a surgery on my hand. You can see this. Even with the stitches, I was in meetings every day. With stitches on my hand, I was in meetings every day. With this kind of stitches, just stitches, I'm still keyboarding message so I can preach today. Friends, I want you to be a little gracious with the pastors. We are a team. We're doing our best to serve God's people and God at New Life Assembly. Sometimes we are unable to. Moses led 20 lakhs of people. After 40 years, people are still grumbling. They had water in the first year. They know they have to go to God and God will provide. But they just, so he was frustrated with the people. They're angry, and what does he do? His anger caused him to obey God's direct order. God says, speak. And Moses took it. And you should see, he says, listen, you rebels. That's how he says. He's calling the people, listen, you rebels. Must we bring water out of the rock? And he takes the rod and he strikes it 2 times out of anger. Out of anger. God was not pleased. Anger can cost you dearly. Numbers 20, verse 12. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy, in the sight of Israel, you will not bring them, this community, into the land I'm giving you.
Because you did not obey me, you will not enter the promised land. Oh, Jesus. In that very same chapter, two siblings die. Verse 23 and 24, it says, verse 24, Aaron will be gathered to his people. He will not enter the land I give to the Israelites, because both of you rebelled against my command. God considered that disobedience rebellion. In verse 1, Miriam dies. They paid a huge price for their disobedience. In Deuteronomy 32, God pronounced that Moses was going to die. Verse 51 of Deuteronomy 30. This is because both of you broke faith with me in the presence of the Israelites at the waters of Meribah. And because you did not uphold my holiness among the Israelites, therefore you will see the land only from a distance, and you will not enter the land I'm giving to the people. What a very harsh judgment for a moment of anger. Please understand, 40 years he labored. 40 years he bore with the people. And towards the end of his journey, just before entering the promised land, he had a moment of anger, and God says, you are not going to enter. Well, let me ask you, why was this so serious? How did God react to Moses' anger? Moses was angry at the people, but God was deeply offended at his anger. You know, this is the different translation that says, God says, you did not honor me. You did not uphold my holiness, because both of you rebelled against me. This is because you broke faith with me. Malachi chapter 2 says, you shall not break faith with the wife of your youth. In other words, you cannot divorce her. Breaking faith is equal to divorce. New Living Translation, you failed to demonstrate my holiness. In the contemporary English version, you did not treat me with honor and respect I deserve. God took this disobedience very seriously. Now, let me tell you why this was so serious. Everybody turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to 5. 1 to 4, please. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 to 4. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. I want all of you to read the next line, please. Here we go. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. They drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. In Exodus chapter 17, the Lord says, I will stand before you beside the rock. In Numbers 20, he's not before the people, he's not beside the rock, he is the rock. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? In Numbers 20, he is a rock. Moses, in his anger at the people, he did not realize that he was striking the very Son of God. And you can understand how the Father felt when Moses struck the rock. He said, there is no way you're going to enter the promised land after striking my Son twice. Are you getting me? That rock was Christ. Moses had anger issues in his life. If you read Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, the Bible says that when he came out from the palace, he saw two people fighting, an Egyptian and a Hebrew. He looked to the left and right, he struck the Egyptian and killed him. His anger killed a man. Just hit him. You see, he was trained to be the next Pharaoh. He's probably trained himself in warfare. He could hit and kill somebody. But that one incident of his anger cost him his throne, his palace, his inheritance, his position. He ran away. His anger cost him. The second time we find in Exodus 32. He had anger issues. When he came down from the mountain, he was carrying the two stone tablets. When he was carrying the stone tablets, he saw the people making a golden calf and bowing and worshiping and celebrating. Moses was so filled with anger, he threw the stone tablets. He broke them. But this time, he was not judged because his anger was righteous anger. His anger was not about breaking the stone tablets. It was about the idolatrous nature of the people of God. The very first person who broke the Ten Commandments was Moses himself. Just think of for a moment. He broke it, literally. God didn't punish him. But then the third time, his anger issues rose up in Numbers 20 when he struck the rock. But that rock was Christ. That cost him dearly. He was never allowed to enter the promised land for one act of disobedience. I want you to know your anger will cost you. Your anger will cost you. Some of us have anger issues. We are by nature, we are angry. I heard somebody say they come home tiptoeing into the house because their spouse will get very angry. They don't want to make any noise coming inside. Lest you rise up a demon. Why would you be afraid in your own home? Why do you or your spouse have to be so angry? Why do you have to be angry at your neighbors and call yourself a Christian? Why do you have to be angry all the time at your children and say things that you should not be saying? Having lived all his life with God, having spoke to God face to face and leading a rebellious people for 40 years just before his retirement to be stopped from entering the promised land, what a tragedy. But anger will cost you dearly. Proverbs 29 verse 11. I'm going to call the worship team, please. Fools give full vent to the rage, but the wise will bring calm to the in the end. Fools give full vent to the rage. God is calling somebody who's angry all the time, fool. The question, are you a fool? May not be on Sunday morning. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 9. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. Are you someone who is given to anger instantly? God calls you a fool. Proverbs 22 verse 24. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered. In other words, listen, don't make friends with an angry person. It is worse to marry one. Do you have friends that are always angry? Get out of that friendship. Get out of that company. Are you married to an angry person? Don't divorce. Sometimes when people go through the dating process or the engagement process, and you always come across somebody who's always fighting, that is a warning sign for you to get out of that marriage. Listen, if you're fighting all the time while you are before your marriage, it is your last chance to get out of the relationship than to be in a hell with a person who's always angry. Heard the story of a father. He brought a very expensive, latest model of Mercedes-Benz. He just brought his 2.5-year-old son was playing outside in the front yard, and the car was parked, beautiful car, just brought from the showroom. Well, the father had some tools lying around, some hammers, some spanners, some all of that. The little 2.5-year-old son took the hammer and started banging the car. He banged the brand new car. He banged it. Oh, he had so much fun because it was making new designs in the car. He kept banging and banging and banging. The father was inside watching some football or cricket. He came outside and to his horror saw the front and the door, everything getting... He saw what his son... You know what the father did in his anger? He got hold of his son, took his hand on the road, took the hammer and crushed all the 10 fingers. The boy cried in pain. But he crushed, all the fingers were crushed. The father, after this happened, his anger subsided down. He took the car to the showroom. In a week's time, in a week or 10 days' time, they fixed everything, brought the car back. The son, his fingers all crushed. He comes to the daddy and says, "Daddy, the car is nice. Can you fix my fingers too?" For the rest of his life, that boy did not have those 10 fingers. One father, his name is Lam Luong, 37-year-old in the state of Alabama. He had a terrible fight with his wife. He took his four small children, all young, less than teenage years, all four of them. He took them to the Dauphin Island Bridge in Alabama, USA, and threw all four of them into the deep river, killing all four of them out of a fight, out of an anger with his wife. In a moment of anger, we may do things that we will regret. Someone rightfully said, never make a decision when you are angry and never make a promise when you are very happy. The greatest remedy for anger is delay. I want you to close your eyes as I read a scripture. James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. I'm speaking to you today. Do you have a rageaholic behavior? Are you given to fits of rage? Are you in an explosive mood all the time? Can anyone say something or do something that makes you jump into a rage? Are you given to using foul language or hitting things or throwing things? Friends, it's time for you to ask God to... I want you to look at me for a moment before you pray. Look at me. I know your anger, no matter how bad it is, can be changed instantly. Suppose you are having a very bad fight with your wife, with your husband, and suddenly the knock comes on the door. It's Pastor Wilson at the door. You open the door. Hello, Pastor Wilson. Praise the Lord. Just 20 seconds ago, you were using all the language. Pastor heard it outside the door. You can instantly change. Or you're fighting, and suddenly the phone rings. Hello, brother. This is Sister Stubbs here. Hello, sister. My friends, you and I have the ability to change it. You have the ability, unless you're, of course, lost your mind. You have the ability. I want you to close your eyes. You have the ability, and I want you to pray and ask God and say, God, will you please help me, Lord, to have a temperament that'll be meek, that'll be kind. Because you take anger seriously. Moses was not angry at God. Moses was angry at God's people. But God reacted differently. How he wished he could have changed that. Some of us are bearing fruit of our anger, still going through the pain of some of the consequence of what we said or did in a moment of anger. I want you to say, God, change my heart. Change my life. Talk to him. Close your eyes, just talk to Jesus right now. Father, today we come before you. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us today. God, there are those among us that have fits of rage, that have an explosive temperament. We rise up in rage and anger, and we say things we shouldn't say, do things in our anger. God, we pray that you help us to bring under the subjection of the Lordship of Christ. Help us, O God, the people that will be meek, that will be kind, that will be loving, that will reflect Christ. I ask your blessing upon the people, Lord. Be with us. We worship you, we honor you, we thank you for those baptisms today. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen.
Thank you for taking time to listen. If you would like more information about our church or would like to make a comment, please mail us at info@newlifeag.in. God bless you.